please like, comment, and subscribe.
Hi, I'm Kim.
And I'm Tora. And we want to welcome you to another episode of Kicking It with Kim and Tora. We have three great topics this week, and we love to just dive right in and tell you what we've been thinking about. So our first topic today is going to be on the Buffalo shooting. And New York's, it's one of those things that I can't even really talk about because it's personal to me. My husband is from Buffalo, New York, and where the tops was, I've been there. I've seen it. We've gone past it several times. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. I know you've said, hey, we went to New York, but I didn't know it was because your husband was from there. I certainly didn't know you had been to that grocery store before.
And the street alone, if you read his manifesto, his brother and his father, everyone lived off or on, you know, the street where he changed his clothes. So everything, like we've been there, hung out there, stood there with our children. So it kind of just, it's so personal to us because of the area of where it happened. And it is predominantly Black. And when I say predominantly Black, I'm talking about you probably won't see a Caucasian person for, you know, many miles. And for him to have sought out that area just always didn't sit right with me. And then as time is going on, I'm hearing about the police officer who supposedly was shot in the store and supposedly shot back, even though I didn't see that on the video. And I did watch the video. It was sent to me without a warning. So of course I'm watching it thinking it's a video game or something, a reenactment or something, but it was the actual shooter videotaping himself committing the crime. And like I said,
And what platform did he show that on?
It was Twitter.
And they're not shutting that, and they didn't shut that down?
Several of them have been, but people just keep reposting it and reposting it. So
they should have shut Twitter down, as far as I'm concerned. They shut us down.
Oh, yeah.
We show foolishness.
Oh, yeah, totally. But it came through my Twitter feed. And like I said, I didn't see police officer whatsoever engaged in that video. I don't know if they edited that part out for his family's sake or whatever.
It was not a security guard. Was it a security guard?
He was an actual officer. He was an actual officer for 33 years. Or 30 years. So I'm giving him respect, calling him an officer, but he retired and became a police officer like most officers do, you know, to bring in that extra income, I guess, or just to, you know, stay busy. He was an officer at a grocery store. Like, the most you might engage in is someone stealing something, you know?
So I'm sure it's no surprise that I haven't watched the video or anything like that. But the thing that really stands out to me, why did the Black community allow this white man to come up in there? Think about you or I or your husband or any of our male relatives going to a sundown town, to a redneck town. They're going to run you out of there. So certainly the responsibility lies on the white community and the white mothers who keep raising these mass murderers, the white parents, whatever they are. But we have an obligation to better protect our communities. He doesn't belong there.
But if it's a hit, I don't think it's going to be any protection, because they're saying this officer created a car that could run off of water. Now, mind you, I'm thinking in my mind when I hear run off of water, like it actually drives on water. What? But actually talking about
water for fuel,
which would wipe out the trillionaires and billionaire industry, because what would we need?
But if it's a hit, the people in the community don't know it's a hit.
Right.
It is our obligation to start protecting our communities.
Right.
To start questioning people who look like they don't belong. I do agree.
He did scope out the place. He did scope out.
Say it again.
He did scope out the place. You're right. He did come there the day before and was talking to people, asking questions about the neighborhood and stuff. You're right.
Black people.
Didn't raise any red flags.
When are we going to wake up? I understand that we're more humane than them.
Yeah. There it is.
But we have to start looking at how they move. We have to start looking at the nature of the people that we're dealing with. I think a lot of us will. Some of us are never going to get it.
Never.
They're always, if it on the internet, if it would have been somebody in a white neighborhood. We don't want to hear that. It wasn't in a white neighborhood. Once again, it was in a black neighborhood. And so some of us are waking up, but that says with everything. They're always going to be those sheep who just are not going to make it. But that guy's name was, that hero's name was Aaron Salter Jr. And because he created that car that could be fueled by water, you and I both know they took him out.
Everyone they said who owned that patent has been killed. Everyone. They said that the African guy who just recently was invited to the United States, he literally
poisoned him, right?
They poisoned him, and he's missing. So
all of them were on the same patent?
All of them was on the same spectrum of trying to invent something. Because he, I think, had a television or something like electronic.
The African guy had a television. Yeah. I saw that on TikTok months ago.
So that makes me so sad, because if there is this entity out there that says, listen, these are the things you must never invent or touch because of X, Y, and Z, tell the people, why do you have to keep knocking them off and killing them and then creating all this mass hysteria to cover it up? Like, just say it. We are not, no one's going to say why. Why don't you want us to reinvent?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
If you know that you're going to, your family or your loved one potentially could die from inventing a new type of sunglasses. Okay, well, then I won't invent the damn sunglasses.
Oh, no, ma'am. Right. We're going to invent it anyway. What we need to learn to do is keep it to ourselves. The reality is that people are all over social media They're saying something I agree with, which is, why are we the only species on this planet who have to pay to live here? Why do we have to pay to drink water that runs underground and in all our lakes and rivers and streams? Why do we have to pay for housing when we can build a round hut or a teepee or whatever? Why do we have to pay for food when we used to grow it until they steered us away from doing that? Why are we paying for, we're the only ones. We don't just get to live here, but we're born here and we're being forced to work.
That's one thing.
It's a problem. We're going to keep on inventing stuff and we're going to.
Right. And my cousins and I were literally talking about, you just not to change the subject, but we were talking about when they were growing up, every backyard had a garden.
We did
a portion of square, and ours did too.
And fruit trees. Every yard in our neighborhood had fruit trees. We talked about that on here, because I told you how they used to raid the trees. We all did it. We raided the trees at night, and then I would have to go in, and then they would come by and raid my pear tree. And I would always say, you can have the pears, but it was the fun of it was to wait till we were in the house and then
get the
pears. Yeah.
So it was so funny, because I was thinking, if there is an opportunity for us to rise up as a people right now, while it seems like everybody's defeated, because that's what I'm hearing lately, like everyone is defeated. It's like,
I'm not hearing that. That's what you're hearing?
Yes, I sent it to you. I don't know if you saw it yet, but they was even saying that there was this guy who was toting a gun around and bullying. I'm like, oh my gosh. There was a guy, a white guy. He was carrying a gun around and bullied, but the police stopped him, threatening to shoot up malls, Walmart, Sam's Clubs, and they stopped him. And so I was like, I need to let all my friends know in the surrounding area that this is, you know, a rumor that's been out there. However, I'm like, now that everybody's so afraid to just go out and live their normal life. Yeah, I get amnesia. So I do get afraid. I'm going to admit, I do, when I first hear about stuff like that, I get afraid. And I have fear, like afraid, like, do I need something from Sam's Club? No, I don't need to go.
That's why they do it. They feed off of that negative fear energy. Mm-hmm. And if you're feeling it, people all over the country are feeling it. And so it's a lot. It's like that. I've said it before. It's like that movie Monsters. They showed you that they feed off energy from people. Mm-hmm.
So basically, it sounds like the government is biting off its nose despite its face, because if you're going to put fear in my heart and make me stop going to the stores and spending my money, aren't you going to trickle down some kind of way? You're going to go broke too? And that's the one thing you thrive off of, is your money? You know? You thrive off your money. You love your money. Aren't you doing all of this for your power and your money? So why are you trying to invoke fear in everyone to keep us home, to keep us from spending? Like, are they two evils out there fighting against each other? The people with no priorities and money and don't want the people who do have priorities and money or whatever that's driven by money to succeed? Are those the two entities we're fighting with? Because they're clashing up there at the top and it's killing us down here at the bottom with our food shortage, health shortage, medicine shortage, like
so everything. Two different things. One, I think that like you, that's what I want to use. I think that like, oh, we didn't even set the daggone timer. I'm just going to set us for like 25 minutes.
Okay.
But I think that like you, most people are going to get amnesia. And so the fear and the not shopping is to be temporary, and then they're going to go back. But what is clear to me, or what I truly understand, is they're trying to take our guns. Think about it. Last week, there were six mass shootings.
I didn't even know.
And then there's already been another one this week in Texas. Yep. What they're trying to do is make people feel what you're talking about, defeated. You start seeing people say, why is their right to own guns more important than the lives of children? Nobody said that. Yes. We said, we're not giving up our guns because we see what happened in Australia.
Australia.
And they have locked them down. They can't grow. This lady came on and said, I've spent the last 2 years growing a garden and becoming self-sufficient. And they've now passed the law outlawing it. They can't grow their own. They couldn't come outside. They were hauling indigenous Aborigines into those detainment camps. Australia is off the chain.
Now, I heard the opposite. I heard that they took their guns out of their houses, that crime decreased, even though there are some gun violence there, it drastically decreased. See, you get so many mixed messages.
Maybe crime did decrease, but who cares? Because did you not know that Australia was one of the hardest unreasonably ruled countries during the pandemic? They literally forced them to stay in their homes. At one point, they had like an hour a day outside or whatever. And you know why they could do that? Because nobody had a gun. Nobody could defend themselves. You should look it up. Australia was off the chain. And
is this when they first took the guns in 1996 or something?
No, they took the guns first. And then when COVID happened, they were able to implement draconian measures because nobody could defend themselves. And that's what they want to do here. They want to take our guns. So they're going to shoot up everybody. And some of these are what I call false flags. False flags being an operation intended to make it look like somebody else did it, whoever these shooters are, and to serve another purpose. Now, you've already identified that the Buffalo shooting was a hit on Aaron Salter Jr. Now, on the Texas shooting that just happened yesterday, I think it was, two days ago, I just saw a video today where a police officer, so a reporter was questioning him and said, we've heard that police officers went inside the school to get their own kids. And the officer said, well, yes, they did, because as you know, it's a very dangerous situation. You know what I'm saying? They went in and got their kids and brought their kids out and left the rest of the kids there. And then in the description, it said, see my other video, because there were about 40 police officers who kept guns trained on the parents, the rest of the parents who were carrying on about, where's my kid? Where's my kid? To keep them back. So these are false flags. There's an
Wait a minute. Yes, so there was police officers on their police force that went into school and pulled out their own kids.
While other police officers held the other parents pretty much at gunpoint.
And said, you can't go in and get your kid, but we can go in and get
out. I don't know if they were saying you can't go in, but they're saying we're going to keep you contained. Now, I want to disclose, I saw the police officer say, yes, they did go in and get their kids because, as you are aware, it was a very dangerous situation and blah, blah, blah.
All the kids, though.
But I never saw the part where, I didn't go back and see the other video where they allegedly were holding the parents back at gunpoint. So I can't really vouch for that. But even just going in and getting
your own kids. Texas is a carry-all state. I can't believe they would let that ride like that, you know? Those parents would sit around and be like, okay, well, Billy Joe, you know, I mean, we got
to get shot. They're not going to get shot. Then their kids are going to come out and have no parents. People are, you know, there's this country is a whole nother level. Well,
it was predominantly to me, what I saw was Hispanic,
Latino
community. But if they had did that to a Caucasian school Caucasian men were, they would have not stood there and let Billy Joe or Billy Bob or whoever stand there at gunpoint and pointing at them and tell them they couldn't go in there and get their kids. I'm a believer.
We always say Caucasian men wouldn't do this, wouldn't do that. You know why they wouldn't? Because the police wouldn't have treated them that way.
That is correct.
It's not that they're stronger than our brothers. We know who the supreme males are on this earth, but they would never even put white males in that position to have to, you know, confront that kind of situation. I just, I don't know. I did see the video you sent me about, I guess he, I've seen his name around, Charleston White. Uh-huh. I guess is he a popular influencer?
He's one of those people who just rose up in the ranking as an influencer. And I mean, he just came in overnight, almost at the same time. I'm going to say Kevin Samuels took off because I kind of saw them two at the same time taking off. And he's very controversial. Like, he brings controversy like no one has ever. Like, he talks about gang members, he talks about rappers, he talks about our community, but in a way that you can relate to, like saying, what do gang members bring to the community? At least the Black Panthers fed the community, tried to build organizations. He's like, these people just tear you down, kill your you know, family members. They don't buy anything, they don't sell anything, they don't, you know, they're not building anything. Like,
and they just teach our youth to engage in violence. I just watched the Rashad Jamal video saying most of the violence in the Black communities is because of the lyrics that the rappers are
rapping. And so he was saying that at a very young age, his little brother or his big brother looked at him and told him he was going to, which was so intelligent that he said Charleston White said something intelligent afterwards. He said he told him, when I grow up, I'm going to kill someone. And he ran downstairs to tell his mother. Charleston ran downstairs to tell his mother. Instead of the mother embracing him and trying to find out what was wrong with her son and why did he have this much anger and hatred in his heart, she gave him a butt whipping. And he said they didn't grow up deprived. They didn't grow up abused. But somehow he had all this rage and anger in him. Now he said he's going to tell another story about why his brother feels like the best place for him was prison. Like, he's happy there.
Oh, he said his brother's balling out in prison, having a blast.
And that's...
But he said the reason his brother was so angry was the lack of a father in the home.
Lack of a father figure and father in the house, which is, we've touched on this on other episodes, which I believe is what's Kevin Samuels' issue. All these men who have this platform now issue that are saying these outlandish things about women. And I'm just like, oh, you all, I mean, it's almost like a deep rooted hatred. And the where I grew up and the men I grew up around, which was my grandfather, and they loved women. I mean, they always spoke so kindly of women. So, you know,
that
nice
was two
women.
Generations back. That was two generations back. We have been socially engineered to hate each other since that time. I think I mentioned in a previous video that I saw somebody else say, we're the only race where the men and women are hating on and fighting each other. Everybody else joins
and competing on how bad you can make the other one look in public. Like,
but we have to remember that that has been their intention. That's mm-hmm. why the rap's there. That's why the stupid ass TV shows are there. Yeah. That's why the movies are the way they are. Yeah. That's why they always make us look horrible in the news. Mm-hmm. That's why if it's an 18-year-old boy doing something that's black, he's mm-hmm. a man. If it's a 19-year-old white person, he's just a child. Mm-hmm. Every time these psychopathic mass murderers kill somebody, it's mental health. Every time anything happens,
and they show the great parts of their life, it's like, what?
Like, they don't show Mike Brown graduating, they show him being unruly in a store. Yep. It's a social engineering. And think about it. I thought about this too. I can't recall if we mentioned this, but someone said, you know, they make it seem like Black people don't have a culture of sticking together. And we see Africans and Latinos come over and stick together. But guess what? We used to too. We've been socially engineered out of it in two generations. When my grandmother raised me, all we did, it wasn't any annual anything. It was every weekend. And sometimes it was during the weeknights. I remember her saying, we're getting ready to leave. And I put my coat on and we're standing there for 20 minutes getting upset. They were just like this.
Yeah,
one person needed something, everybody put in. Socially engineered out of our true culture in two generations.
And that's crazy you said that, because I remember my grandmother fixing dinner and then taking it. They lived closer over the Bay Bridge, but she would have my grandfather drive her over there to give her sisters portions of her food that she cooked for their family. And I never thought anything less or more of that situation. But now I think about it, I just see so much differentness. Like, it was almost like we knew when she was cooking for her family, even though they didn't even live in the same house.
My grandmother's oldest daughter, mm-hmm. my oldest aunt, had a big home over on the 14th Street, 16th Street, Northwest. Mm-hmm. We went over there all the time. She had like 10 bedrooms or something.
Yep.
We were always in her backyard playing games up and down the street. That's all we did. My grandmother was so close with her brother that sometimes we would come home, he'd be sitting in our dining room. He has climbed through our kitchen window and sitting in there, start talking when we walked in. They were like glue.
Wow.
They all migrated up here from the South. I think mm-hmm. she came first and they all followed her, and eventually their mother followed them. Mm-hmm. We were tight. Yep. This is what they created, and we don't understand that. That's why I'm not so mad at us.
I understand it.
We don't understand
it. I understand it because I see so much hatred with the young folks, even just the way they talk to the older folks and their logic of why they should be this and why they should be. And I'm just like, I can't understand it. And I know it's all from lack of fathers in the family and lack of father figures.
But lack of fathers is, I cannot get this in enough. Lack of fathers is from social engineering, because even slaves got married and had families and fathers bought their wives and husbands bought their wives out of slavery, and they would go and find their children.
Yes. But that would never happen now. That would never.
Because the government gave Black women welfare benefits and project housing and told them, you either take this or your man. Your man can't live there. Your man can't be there. We're not giving it to you if he's there. And over time, they began to prefer the government benefits over their man, who is discriminated against and can't bring nothing to the table. Where are we going to eat? I got to feed these kids. This is by design. The father not being there, the people hating each other.
Mm-hmm.
I've been binge listening to my son's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And on one episode, he played Juvenile. Now on the radio, we always hear Back That Thing Up. When I listened to the real, he was calling the woman a hoe.
Oh yeah.
And I mm-hmm. said to my son, it's astonishing. It took me aback to realize how long misogyny has been in rap.
No, it's ingrained now.
Way back there. Mm-hmm. And remember Luke, Uncle Luke? That's where you get now. Young men don't even call women anything other than a bee, a hoe. Yep. I mean, it's all by design.
And I was listening to this guy on his podcast the other day, and he was talking about, and men, you get up, you work for the sanitation department to provide for you so your nails can look good. But when he was talking to the woman, he kept calling her a chick, but calling the men, men. And I just was like, one word, I just responded with chick on my comments, because I'm like, you are so ingrained in trying to just stay in that belittling phase that you can't even say, you know, men get up and go to work, you know, to provide for their ladies, for their wives. He just kept saying, you chicks and you chicks. And I'm like, wow, I couldn't even receive his message because of that. I'm like, you blocked my whole message when, you know, I can't even look past what you're saying to get your point, because you keep saying chicks for women as if there's no other polite name you could, but you could find a word like calling the men, men, you know, call them dudes, you know, call them something just as equally, and then we can see the playing field is level. So my
instead
thing
instead of lowering it down, raise it up.
Yeah, call that's what I'm saying. Women. Since you
call
can't
them
raise
women
it up.
And men. Don't yeah. call them men and chicks. Don't call them women and dudes or dudes and chicks. Just call everybody what they are and have
that's
some.
That's what I would agree with. But if he can't come up to that level, then he needs to lower his standard or lower his word level so the playing field can be even. And I can feel like, okay, well, you're just mad at both parties right now. But when I was listening, I could only hear the anger coming from him, as in women, like just basically stabbing us away with every chick he kept saying. And I'm just thinking to myself, where did this hatred come from? Like, who put this hatred in men that now they just want to stay away and don't even want us to be anywhere around them? Like, it's scary. It's scary to me.
I'm not scared. Anybody with that attitude needs to keep it pushing. Go over there with the dudes. What, you want to be homosexual? Because without us,
yes,
what are you going to
do?
There's not going to be any race. There's not going to be any new children. You're just going to be stuck up with a bunch of men. So go have at it. And what I need our women to do is raise their standards. You can't call me a woman. You can't help me take care of myself and my children and our children.
It's a problem.
Then we don't take it. We don't need any sex that bad. It's like women running for sex. I'm going to get that D.
Yes.
Leave that D alone, girl, and focus on something else, because we have to raise our standards. If we start saying no, they're going to change. Because
you know what I'm seeing more now? Like, I haven't been to the malls in so long. I usually go to outlets. So I finally got a chance to go to the mall. We were pretty much walking around for hours. I saw, I'm going to say, at least 45% of the couples I saw, if I saw couples. Now, I'm not talking about everyone in the mall. I'm just talking about if I saw a couple. It was a Black woman with either Hispanic or white guy. Every single couple. I think I might have saw maybe 4 or 5 couples that were there with a Black man, but I wouldn't even know if they were together because of the love he wasn't spewing out. Like, I knew the other ones were couples because I saw the way the white man was hugging her around her waist, or I saw where the Spanish guy might have been holding her hand, but with the Black guy, and I wanted to do something about that. Like, I wanted to actually film them from the back, but without calling people out, just to show my point. Like, the Black guy, if he was with a Black woman, you know, he had his bags in his hand, and he was walking maybe in front of her 2 steps or behind her 2 steps, or, you know, walking beside the, you know, maybe if there was a kid or a teenage kid there. Besides, there was no into couple love. There was no blueprint to show even the younger kids or anybody there was Black love. None. Like, not one couple did I see.
That's going to dilute our melanin even more. So for the Black Americans, we're already diluted with Europeans and Lord knows what. We're already diluted. We need strong melanated people, but I mean,
I hope whoever listens to this, I hope I can awaken this so other people can see it. And I hope they comment and let us know if they see it way differently, because it might have just been that day that I was on. But literally, when I saw it, I saw not one Black couple engaged in love that I could actually say that is definitely husband and wife or boyfriend and girlfriend. There was no indication at all.
Well, I think that if it's you know, melanated Latinos, it's mm-hmm. okay. Mm-hmm. But if it's just straight white people,
oh, they were straight white races, guys.
But it's a problem for me.
These white guys weren't hip hop or trying to be black or any of this sort. They were literally white guys.
So who, was it you or somebody else who told me to watch, because I don't watch TV, but mm-hmm. to look at the commercials and notice that every commercial has a black woman with a white man or a black man with a white woman. Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean by social engineering. Mm-hmm. So now they're, because all the while they kept showing black men and white women, mm-hmm. the statistics said that about 85%+ mm-hmm. of blacks were married to each other. 85%+ of black men were married to black women. Mm-hmm. But they kept showing that on TV. Mm-hmm. Now they're showing it in commercials, showing it in reverse, and mm-hmm. you're starting to see it, we all are, in mm-hmm. real life. That is what social engineering is. They decide how they want us to be, and they show us stuff over and over and over until we become that.
But I want to know, where do we lay the blame? Because my thing is this, I don't care. My
children, the global elites who run the media.
For me to say this, because they're one of the, especially my daughter, Victoria, she's like, so what? It's not a so what. I care nothing about, you know.
I do know your daughters date white, and I
could care less about interracial. It's more about black love and the examples of what black love looks like, because.
And the continuation of our race. Mm-hmm. We need black people to reproduce together to mm-hmm. continue our race. Otherwise, we get lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter, like Brazil.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Exactly, that's a perfect example. But my point is, who is going to teach our sisters, which I believe our daughters, our sisters, about our own, if we all are just this one blob, you know? Like, so we're just supposed to lose our culture. Asians don't lose their culture. Hispanics
don't always marry each other. Latinos too, don't you notice that? They're always a little couple together. We went to a hotel.
We're the only race that loses our culture, and everyone's like, well, we're just one. Like, no, you're the only one that says that. You're the only one.
This is what I really think for, not random, but some individuals mm-hmm. to date outside the race mm-hmm. is okay. Mm-hmm. But when we allow them to socially engineer us so that we all begin doing it, mm-hmm. then it's a problem. But I don't think that really, it was, I can't imagine. I don't know. I hope not. We need, you know, we need to perpetuate our race. It's okay absolutely. For some people to date outside the race. That's not a problem.
Totally.
But it can't be everybody.
Right. And I mean, and even if you are there, are you going to keep your culture there? You know, like, you know how they say Jews dated, you know, Christians, like the Jews are still going to have, Kwanzaa, the Jews are still going to have their 7 days and the Christians are still going to have their tree, you know, are you going to keep it whereas though you still practice your heritage in your home?
How can you? And how can your children really be black if half the time they got to celebrate this thing? And I don't know. I'm going to leave it alone because I don't want to step on anybody's toes. But that makes me sad. That makes me very sad.
It makes me sad too. It makes me sad, very sad too. But I feel like we're losing who we are. I feel like we're losing our blackness.
Right now, but I think, you know, they're never going to kill us off. They've been trying for centuries.
Well, we are killing each other off. I feel like if I was Jewish, I would no longer practice Hanukkah anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would tell my kids, no, let's just get a tree. You know,
one more time.
I feel like if I was Jewish, the way Black people are, you know how a Jewish person will definitely have Hanukkah. You know, they understand there's Christmas and their classmates have trees, but they're like, no, we are going to have our Hanukkah. I feel like as Black people are like, no, let's not do, that's how we are. Like, we had a Hanukkah to celebrate. We have Kwanzaa, but nobody really understands it or knows it because it wasn't ever taught or practiced, but we don't do it. And the reason why is because we don't practice like they do with Christians do with their tree and Christmas and like Jewish do with their, you know,
but culture is more than holidays. Culture is the
evolution. No, I'm just using that as an example of how we just get rid of stuff without even saying, like, that is an opportunity to teach and learn. You know, we don't do it anymore. Not just That's just my example of using the holiday of how Jewish people still hold on.
So who are the Black people that are not doing this? The Black people that are getting together with other races? Because the rest of us is doing those things.
No, Black people are doing it. But when we get together with other races, we don't stand firm and say, okay, we are going to still be Black. We are still going to season our food. We are still going to, you know, preach that, you know, there's a higher power and you must respect the fact that, you know, life is a blessing. We don't teach that anymore. We just go like they go, you know.
You're making the case for Black people not dating outside the race. Because when two Black people get together, that never happens. Even if we're from different parts of the country, on some level, we have a similar culture. Mm-hmm. You actually are making the case for why Black people should not date outside our race.
I believe that if you are, do it exactly how the Jewish people do it. Take your race over into that same relationship. Take your nationality into that same relationship and all that comes with it. Your name, take your name over there, take your religion over there, everything. Take it over there and make sure the other person who you're dating is honoring that too. I don't see anything wrong with it, long as they both have the respect of, oh, well, you know, my wife, she's Black, but she makes sure X, Y, and Z is every, you know, in our household.
I would think that the people who just fall in love with somebody of another race mm-hmm. probably could do that. But the people who are more white oriented in nature and always only date mm-hmm. outside the mm-hmm. race aren't mm-hmm. the people that are likely to do that. Absolutely. They're already more inclined toward the other race. So mm-hmm. they want to fit in and, you know, I don't know. I don't have anything else to say about that, girl. I'm going to leave it alone because I respect individual choice.
Right.
I just, you know... All right, that's why I didn't want to use this phone. Okay, but our time is up anyway. You know, it's been an interesting discussion. Absolutely. And we didn't get to talk about, let's talk next week about suing TikTok.
About that and the prophecies of, you know, the last
week. Right. Yeah, let's make a note and we can hit those two and then we'll pick another topic. Well, I've enjoyed it. I hope our audience has enjoyed it. We get a little heated sometimes. Absolutely. But I mean, it's all in the name of airing out an issue.
Absolutely. So at the end of the day, I want to thank you as Tora for kicking it with Kim and Tora. And hopefully you will tune in next week for another great three topics. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and comment.
Thanks for joining us. See you next time.
See you next time.